You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org. There's an app for that.
She's fought to improve children's health, from birth to kindergarten, expanded maternal health care. She's been a tireless advocate for women's health.
Throughout the legislative battles, the Supreme Court challenge, a contentious re-election, and years of votes to turn back the clock, we are making progress, tremendous progress. And critics and supporters alike are benefiting from this law.
The voices of President Obama and, well, until yesterday, his Health and Human Services Secretary, Kathleen Sebelius, she has resigned. She had planned to do that after the rollout of Obamacare, and she's keeping to her schedule. The president has appointed a replacement. What is her legacy? I would say controversial is an understatement when it comes to the policies, the mandate that she put into place when it came to abortifacients, religious employers, the need for them to pay for abortifacients and other things that violate conscious and religious beliefs. Her legacy with regard to religious freedom, we'll explore it for the next 10 minutes with Wendy Wright. She's Vice President for Government Relations and Communications for CFAM, Catholic Family and Human Rights Institute. Wendy, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you. I'm glad to be on.
With the appointment of a replacement, do you expect that the HHS policy of regarding religious exemptions and the HHS mandate, do you expect any of that to change?
Not likely, because it really does reflect the priorities of President Obama and Planned Parenthood. And frankly, Planned Parenthood has been intricately involved with the formulation of Obamacare. Even going back to the early days of what would be considered preventive care, this was the view that was being that was predominant in the meetings. And so I do expect that President Obama will choose, and has already chosen her successor, to be someone who will continue to be really insensitive to religious freedom that is consistent throughout his administration, and will continue to promote abortion on demand, no restrictions, and no consideration for those who want to protect unborn life.
How would you describe the legacy of former HHS Secretary Kathleen Sebelius?
You did a fine job in noting that she will be known as controversial. Now, it's true that Obamacare itself is impossible. It'll be impossible to put into place. But she also did just, frankly, a terrible job managing it and spent just unimaginable amounts of money in rolling out the website and in promoting the Obamacare itself to try and get enough people to sign up for it, engaging in what many ethicists are saying is unethical behavior asking private corporations to pony up money to pay for her programs and to pay for the promotion of Obamacare. And, you know, this wasn't unknown. I guess this isn't too surprising that she would do things like this. She did have a history as the governor of Kansas of being the most pro-abortion governor at that time. She did everything she could to stand in the way and make sure that no protections for unborn children passed into law. And she even covered up for abortionists, the most notorious abortionist, George Tiller, who had had 19 criminal charges against him, and yet she was holding secret parties in the governor's mansion for this late-term abortionist. So that is consistent with Kathleen Sebelius' career, and that is what the kinds of things that she'll be remembered for as Secretary of Health and Human Services.
With that kind of a record and a legacy, some of our listeners might be shocked, although I'm sure most know that she calls herself a Roman Catholic.
Yeah, that is quite surprising. Now, I'm not a Catholic myself, even though I work for a Catholic organization, but evangelicals and Catholics hold a lot in common, and that includes trying to protect unborn life, defending the weak and the vulnerable and those who cannot speak for themselves. And so I know my colleagues who are Catholic are extremely disturbed when they see politicians like Kathleen Sebelius claim that they can be Catholic when they violate a fundamental belief that God created each one of us. We are accountable to Him, and that we should defend those who He has created, the innocent who are being targeted for slaughter.
She's probably going to be most known in the history books, not only as Health and Human Services Secretary, but she has a Supreme Court case with her name on it, Sebelius versus Hobby Lobby. Did she inadvertently make some of the provisions of the Affordable Care Act vulnerable by pushing and pushing and pushing and not compromising, false compromises, and allowing Sebelius versus Hobby Lobby to make it to the Supreme Court where the court might not go her direction?
Right. She took an uncompromising, unflexible position. But again, I think that reflects the position of this administration. But as you said, it's her name. It's her reputation that will be forever remembered as the one who has had absolutely no sensitivities toward religious beliefs. And I would go even further than that, really threatening the Religious Freedom Foundation of our country, that if this her mandate stands, if the Supreme Court allows it to stand, then that means that religious freedom across the board is at risk in America. So if she had been willing to compromise even a little bit, perhaps the Obama administration would have gone along with that, but I think that they are colleagues in arms when it comes to putting abortion as the top priority. They consider that a fundamental right above any other right.
Will that claim or that right suffer a serious blow if the Supreme Court in Sebelius versus Hobby Lobby decides in favor of religious employers?
We need to be praying for that. You know, I've learned that we can't take for granted that the Supreme Court will do anything that we would expect, even if something's quite clear in the Constitution and in all our founding documents, and that being religious freedom. We can't take for granted that they will do the right thing. So we ought to be seriously praying that the Supreme Court will do the right thing, uphold religious freedom, because I really fear for Christians. You know, we can see what's happening to Christians around the world, and it is quite sobering for us to see the persecution against Christians around the world. We certainly can't let a foothold take place in America that can open up for persecution here in America.
Why, finally, with only a minute here, is what they would call abortion rights, why is it such an overriding, in some cases one might say all-consuming concern of the Obama administration? About a minute here, Wendy.
I've been involved in pro-life work for 25 years now, and from the beginning I've scratched my head over that. It really just leads me to believe that this is a spiritual battle. It is not logical. It is not consistent with what many of these politicians like President Obama and Secretary Sebelius say that they believe in. And so the only thing I can fall back on is this is a spiritual battle, and it's about literally over life and death, and whether we will protect the smallest of God's creation, those made in His image. And I think it's a challenge to us as Christians. Will we stand up in this age, in this era, when a class of human beings are being slaughtered indiscriminately?
Wendy Wright is Vice President for Government Relations and Communications for CFAM, Catholic Family and Human Rights Institute. And you can find out more about CFAM at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Wendy, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
When we come back, it's going to be Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. on this Friday afternoon, April the 11th. In the second hour of the program, we will go to our listeners and to their email, and we will answer their questions, maybe ask a few questions as well, but answer their questions, their comments, their show suggestions, all coming in via the issues, et cetera, email. That email, by the way, anytime you want to email us with questions or comments, something you hear that you want to react to, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. And then after we go through the email, as much of it as we can get to, we're going to play Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We've got four sound bites lined up to play for you. We'll play them for you. All you need to do is listen and then give us a call, send us an email or a tweet, or go to our Facebook fan page and vote for Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week. That's in the last half hour of Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Are the New Testament Gospels reliable historical documents? How can a loving God allow evil in the world? You'll find answers to these questions in the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for April, Making the Case for Christianity, Responding to Modern Objections. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month, Making the Case for Christianity.
Cradled in historic Perry County, Missouri, the manger of the Missouri Synod, Emmanuel Lutheran Church at 453 Northwest Street in Perryville proclaims God's Word and celebrates His Supper on Saturdays at 5:30 and Sundays at 7:30 and 10 using the church's liturgy contained in Lutheran Service Book, enriched with ancient and modern hymns. For more information, call 573-547-8317 or visit www.emmanuel-perryville.org.